This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am so happy because I'm going to be talking about Texas, and I love talking about Texas. Donaldson Brown has written a book called Because
I Loved You.
And I love that title. Hi, Donaldson.
Hello, Patsy. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, sometimes a book comes along at just the right time. I've been thinking a lot about Texas. I lived there for a long time. When I read your book, you just brought back all those memories of being in Texas, being in horse country. Now, I don't ride, but one of my sons particularly loves riding. And so, I've been around the horses. My husband could ride, and his mother rode. His mother was a great rider. But I enjoy people who love horses.
Well, I enjoy people who love horses, too.
And so you certainly know how to write about Texas.
Oh, well, thank you. I actually grew up in New England in southern Connecticut, but my father and his siblings actually had a ranch in northeast Texas, and pretty much out in the boondocks, you know, just kind of at the bottom of the Ozarks. And I spent time there as a girl and as a teenager, and it was very impactful. It was just a beautiful part of the country, and of course I was horse crazy from the time I can remember, so yes, it all stayed with me for sure.
Well, tell us about this love story. And it's delightful, it's charming, it's sort of heart-wrenching all in one, and I think that as we've come out of this pandemic, I think more and more people sort of are taking a breath and saying, yeah, let's think about love stories. And I'm really enjoying the ones that I've been getting lately. And this one I thought was so, it had this extra horse lovers part that I like. And then, of course, art, too. So tell us about your characters and how you came out with the idea.
Sure. Well, the story opens in 1972 in northeast Texas, as we mentioned, and really against the backdrop of the Vietnam War. And the main characters, Lenny and Caleb, are teenagers when they meet. They're 16 and 17. And they're really kind of drawn together by their love of horses, and they recognize in one another their horsemanship. And that's what brings them together. And then there's both families are going through some difficulties. Caleb's older brother has just returned from Vietnam, and he's changed. He's having a difficult time adjusting. And then there's a tragedy that befalls Lenny's family that I won't divulge here. But both of them, Lenny and Caleb, also both really have ambitions and dreams that would take them beyond their small town. But after this tragedy, they have to make decisions that really will reverberate through their lives, and it takes them apart. And then the novel picks up again in New York City in the mid-1980s during the downtown art scene boom, and also the simultaneous Wall Street and real estate boom in the city. So it's kind of this heady time in New York City, if you will. They meet again.
We're not going to say too much
more.
We can't really say too much because, wonderful, both eras, 1972, and the people coming back from Vietnam, of course. And so many did have a rough time, and so many did come from small towns. So there's a lot of this small town background in the story. People who want to get out of the small town. It's funny, you know, because I was from a very small town, and I was the same way. From the time I was 11, I decided at the age of 11 that not only was I going to move out of town, I was going to move all the way to England.
Was
it. I said, no, I announced it when I was 11. I said, I'm moving to England. And I think my older sister said, and this is funny now when you think about it, she said, what do you think, you're a princess? But I did. By the time I was 21, I had saved up enough money, and I moved to England. So there's, did you have this angsty feeling, too, as a child?
I did. But also, I love your story. And I think part of the reason, one of the reasons that I started the novel when I did, well, the real reason is because that's when Lenny first came to me. She was a 16-year-old sort of running away on her horse. But I think that sometimes the ideas or the passions, the dreams we have when we're very young can really hold a key to who we are. And so I love that you, at 11, you knew that you wanted to jump the pond and go to England, and you did it. I think that's fabulous.
Well, mine was thanks to National Geographic, because we're very poor, very poor. Somehow my dad signed up for the subscription to National Geographic, and when that magazine would come every month with the yellow border, it was like I was born again each time it came. And one day I read an article about Jane Austen and England, and that was it. I knew where I was going. So, and it turned out that's exactly what happened. So
I love that. It gets better and better. I also remember the National Geographic's coming to my house. Yeah, it was fantastic.
they did. They really opened our eyes to the world and made us, for those of us who read it, and started dreaming about going away, going to places.
Absolutely.
So tell us about Lenny.
Well, Lenny is, she's the youngest of three. She has an older brother, Foy, and her brother, Marguerite. And she's crazy about animals and her horse. And she's really kind of a tomboy. And she also really dreams of being an artist. She's just drawing all the time. She always has her sketchbook with her and her diary. Her father is a veterinarian, and she adores him. And she will often go out with him and sort of help on the weekends, help him on his, his visits. And her mother is actually a French war bride. And she came from Normandy, France, and met Lenny's dad when he was there during the Second World War as a medic. And she was taken a little bit by surprise, Lenny's mother, when she thought she was marrying a medical doctor and came back from Normandy, France, to ranching country in Texas, and found she was married to a veterinarian.
It would be a little bit shocking. I look at it from that point of view. It would be a little bit shocking to come from Normandy and land up in Northeast Texas. I mean, like,
well, yeah, you know, one of the stories I remember, my mother had a brother, and my uncle met his wife when he was in the service. He was home from World War II on leave, and I remember my aunt telling me one time that they had really only spent 2 weeks together before they married, and that stuck with me, from that era, and I don't think that's an uncommon story. I heard similar things from my mother, so that's kind of where that came from.
Well, I thought that was a great backstory, because it puts a little bit different twist when you're dealing with somebody who's, from France, and being in a small town in anywhere is difficult, and challenging. So what's your story? Were you raised in a small town?
No, not necessarily. I was actually born in kind of a suburb of New York City. But I think kind of going back to just my experience in Texas on the ranch, and it was kind of the only time I spent with my dad, so of course that made it, doubly impactful. Really, it's that's where Lenny and Caleb, that's where they were, and I just followed them. And I find when I'm writing with my characters, if I try to plan things out or outline too early, it just takes the life out of it. I just feel like my characters kind of stop what they're doing, put their hands on their hips, turn around, look at me, and say, "Would you just leave us be?" So
isn't that
I had to do that for a while.
That's a wonderful feeling when they take over.
It is.
I have a lawyer in 1875 who's taken over my mind for years, and I mean, I know he's not real. Okay, I know that. But at 5 in the morning when I am sitting there and I think he's, you know, in the corner looking at me and saying, why aren't you working on my story? You're supposed to be. And I'm saying, I'm doing other things right now.
Yeah, that's my favorite time to write also, early in the morning. I love that. And you're a writer. It takes a long time. It takes a lot of commitment. There's always the times where you're not sure if this is going to work or if this is going to connect with anybody. And what is it that, you know, keeps you going? And it's probably a different answer for everybody. But I think for me, I really fall in love with my characters. And I just feel this, in a way, this intimacy and this knowing. I know everything about them in a way that maybe sometimes one craves in our real life, but you can never really accomplish, right? Because everybody is their own autonomous person and we connect to the best we can. But there's something about the intimacy we can have with our characters that's, I don't know, it's a beautiful thing.
Well, I have seen people who, you know, as I said, I've been around people who love horses, and for people who do, it is such a relationship. It's so strong.
Yes.
Like when Lenny is, you know, on Foggy, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I love this feeling that she's having, and this love that she has for her horse.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you feel that. I think my relationship with my horse is definitely a first love. And today, actually, I work with an organization. I'm a facilitator and trainer with an organization that works with horses and people coping with post-traumatic stress injuries, with veterans and first responders and people in recovery. And there really is an amazing connection between horses and people. It can be very, very grounding and healing, really.
Boy, when they form that relationship, it's strong.
Yeah, it is. And I think one of the reasons that it's important work with people who are, you know, dealing with traumatic stress injuries is that it really gets us back into our bodies in an important way. So I could talk about it for a long time.
But I think one of the things is when people are reading this, it, as I said, because you write so beautifully about horses, and you make it just, there's a romance in the horse too. You know, that's this love. When I think you form this special bond, and with the character's horse too. So it is, it was great.
Yeah. Well, and the horses do play a role. I mean, they kind of bring the characters back together in New York City in 1986, and the novel concludes in the pre-pandemic current day, and horses play a little bit of a role there, too. So we do leave Texas, but they never leave their love of horses.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that goes throughout the novel, and it's wonderful. I think it's beautifully written. Well, you know, it's just fun. I love a book that's relaxing. It relaxes me. And as I'm reading this and I'm thinking, almost like your breathing changes. It's not the same as when you're reading a thriller and there's going to be a murder or there's going to be... There's something so relaxing about a real love story, people connecting with each other. And as you said, it's, you know, takes us right, you know, through... near the pandemic, but nowadays I think people do need books like this, and I think the book is lovely. You've done a great job with it, and I wanted to ask you, spell your name for people. Donaldson. It was so interesting. I got it wrong a couple of times. I'm writing it, I'm saying, no, I know there's something wrong with this.
Actually, my first name is spelled Donnaldson, and I was named for my grandfather, for my father's father. I was the 16th grandchild, and no one had yet been named for him, so I got the honor. But when I was a girl, they called me Donna, you know, Donna. And so when I started going by Donaldson, I just kept the double N. You know, I don't know. I think I just wanted to be a little bit different. So, but my favorite response when people say, "That's your first name? Are you sure?" I've actually been asked that. It's like, yes, I'm pretty sure that's my first name.
Well, I think you are the only author with that first name, and it's
I am. I am.
Actually, yeah. It's good because it's easy to find Double N Donaldson. Yes. That's what you can be called, Double N Donaldson. It's
lovely. Right, like Patsy with a Z and right. Double N Donaldson. So that's we have
You know, I'm waiting for somebody to name a baby Patsy with a Z. I'm going to give them some kind of a prize if somebody will have a baby and name it Patsy, because Jimmy Hoffa gave me that name. So
that's amazing.
So if, you know, it's good enough for Jimmy Hoffa, it's good enough for some other baby, you know. And Donaldson with two N's, Brown. Then it's nice when you have a simple last name.
Yes, that helps.
Yeah, it would have been really difficult if you had a four-syllable last name. Then
yeah, that would have been too many syllables for sure.
but people can find you on the internet, and your book is available
yes.
online. It's a lovely book, a sweet book, and I think an encouraging book, too, because we need to know that love can bloom and it's springtime and we need some happiness and joy, don't we?
Well, I hope it's a good story that people can sink into and that they like Lenny and Caleb at least as much as I do.
Well, I think they will. I think they will. And the book is called Because I Loved You, and it's by Donaldson Brown. Everybody get it. Have a nice weekend. Be happy. Think about horses and think about people being in love, falling in love, and finding love, right?
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today. It's been a joy to talk to you.
Thank you, Patsy. All the best to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. You know, I've had a couple of love stories lately, and it's refreshing getting back to people who are in love and finding love, and just, it's wonderful. And this book is very sweet. It's called Because I Loved You, and beautifully written. She's very talented. Bye-bye now.